I recently received a friend request that reminded me of this story, so I'm going to share it here. This happened after I went to university, so I was 18. I made an effort to make friends after I moved onto campus, and ended up with a few groups to hang out with, including a new girlfriend, and plenty of people from my classes that I liked well enough. There was one class before lunch where it was traditional for people to go to the cafeteria afterwards to eat in pairs or threes. I wasn't very discerning about who I'd have lunch with, because I got on fine with most people from the class, and we were all trying to make an effort to be social. So when one girl, Lily, asked if I wanted to eat lunch together after class, I didn't have a reason not to go. We talked about school and that kind of thing, nothing noteworthy. But she asked me to get lunch with her again the next week. It became a pattern, and there wasn't exactly a way to start saying no suddenly. It was fine, but it did mean I lost a chance to eat lunch with anyone else on those days. In hindsight, I suppose that was the point. One day in class, I asked someone if I could add them on social media. This happened in front of Lily. I saw her face jerk towards me from a couple of seats over. It was such a sharp reaction that it was hard to ignore, and I still remember it. By the time I got home later that day, Lily had sent me a friend request. No friends in common. Don't know how she knew my last name. I was a bit surprised, but I guess she just dug through the university social media pages and found me through there. It gave me a bad feeling, but surely it was fine. She ended up messaging me a lot, and commenting on anything I posted. I told myself that she was just awkward, and we became friends, if not close. I'd known worse people. She still always got me to go to lunch with her after one of our shared classes. Other than that, we rarely spent time together in person. I saw her around sometimes, but I never went out my way to hang out with her. So it was mostly online messaging and seeing each other in group settings. Coincidentally, my girlfriend was also called Lily. This was something that clearly bothered Lily, not my girlfriend, who couldn't find it less interesting, but it's a common name. She occasionally hinted that she wanted my girlfriend to pick a different name, or joked that it didn't suit her. She clearly didn't like my girlfriend at all, and I had no idea of why. It was hard to ignore by this point. Lily was starting to unsubtly hint that she had a crush on me. I tried not to address it, because what was I going to say? I'd never known what to do when a friend makes a pass at me. I was also not interested in the least. Even ignoring weird stuff she pulled, Lily wasn't my type at all. She tended to dress and act in a way somewhere between 50s housewife and one of those adults who's still obsessed with a Disney princess. If you can picture that. Things took an uncomfortable turn one day, on our last shared class of the year. Instead of asking me to lunch like she usually did, Lily asked if I'd go for a walk with her. Again, I didn't know exactly how to refuse, so I said alright. Our campus was bordered by a large patch of woodland. Lily led me into the woods, and the sounds of our fellow students slowly faded away. She sat down on a log, and I joined her. She started talking about how she was going to miss me over the summer. I tried placating her, but I didn't want to be there, especially because she seemed almost on the verge of tears. I think I tried to make an excuse about having plans with my girlfriend, but before I could leave, Lily chose to kiss me without warning. It was uncomfortable to say the least. I got out of there and was happy to think that I wouldn't see her for a while. I came back to university after the summer, moving into a house with my friends. Without going off topic, there were some serious issues in my friend group. A lot of petty arguing and worse. I broke up with my girlfriend around the start of school year as well. And basically the whole mess made me recontextualize things with Lily, because suddenly it didn't seem as bad. That said, I didn't want to be alone with her. We mostly talked online. She was still constantly messaging me after all. One upside of everything is that I started dating a boy. Lily was not pleased to hear that news. I think she hoped to sneak in after I broke up with my girlfriend, but as I said before, that was never going to happen. There wasn't a big gap between my breakup and this new relationship, so she must have thought she missed her chance to be with me. This is where the story gets bad. At this time, I was fairly active on Tumblr. I occasionally talked about my life, and mostly reblogged photos and stuff. I was on there one day when something odd happened. One of the blogs I followed had received an ask with some phrases I recognised. It took a second to register that it was taken from my about page. That made me freeze. I read the message properly. Someone was asking this completely random person to analyse a section of a page from my page, asking for their opinion on the type of person who could write it. I cannot stress how messed up this is to see people talking about me like I was a character in a book they were trying to study. The reply was basically, "I don't know, sorry." But the important thing was the question hadn't been anonymous, it was linked to someone's blog. Obviously, I wanted to know who had taken such a bizarre interest in me. As far as I knew, no one in real life, other than my boyfriend, knew about my page. Well, no prizes for guessing who was behind it. What I found was a shrine. She was using a fake name, but I recognised Lily all over that thing. It was this cutesy pink and red page. There were a few posts about her interests, but most of her content was focused on her primary interest, me. Most of the posts were about me. There were accounts of things I'd done recently. He told me about such and such, he went to a nightclub recently, etc. As well as references to things as far back as I'd known her. It was clear that she'd been keeping tabs on me, both online and offline, gathering up every scrap of information she could have about my life and hoarding it here in her collection. She talked about us eating lunch together and how special our dates had been to her, as if it was anything more than acquaintances getting food after class. She talked about the time she had forcibly kissed me in the woods, but she wrote it as if it had been mutual. She quoted lyrics from my favourite song and talked about how she would always be there for me, no matter who else came into my life. Lots of references to loving me just the way he is, which answered another mystery about an anonymous love letter I'd received earlier in the year with the same wording. It got worse. There were a lot of posts about my boyfriend as well. These weren't so nice. They got vicious, talking about how he didn't deserve me. He didn't know what he had. If she was with me, she'd be jealous of anyone who came near me. So my boyfriend not being a jealous person meant he didn't love me. It was angry and hateful. I didn't like to think about the sort of person who could write so obsessively being fixated on me. One thing that didn't make sense at first is that the blog also made plenty of references to Lily's best friend Stephen. She'd never even mentioned this person to me. Her post talked a lot about Stephen and how great friends he was, and how much fun they'd had together, how he looked out for her, etc. I was trying to work out whether this was an online friend, when one specific post made it all click. She had posted a photo and captioned it with, "Stephen sent this to me. He knew I'd like it and I love it," or something like that. The problem was, the photo was taken from my own page. I hadn't sent it to her. She took it from my page and then claimed this fictional best friend of hers shared it with her, because in her head, she'd split me into two people. In her messed up fantasy life, I was both the perfect best friend who was also looking out for her, and her soulmate who was bound to end up with her when I finally got over my sweet and kind boyfriend, and all the other easy girls I hung out with that she made dozens of posts complaining about. Who was she complaining to? Oh, Lily had an audience. She asked open questions about me and her relationship with me, and got messages back from her followers, people who took what she said at face value. I saw a bunch of random people agreeing with this stalker that my boyfriend didn't deserve me, and we were bound to break up soon so I could be with Lily, the person I was clearly supposed to be with. She had this fake fanfiction version of my life for anyone to share their opinion on, and she'd made herself out to be a hero in it all. I went maybe a month back into this page's history. I did not look at everything that was there, it was too much, so I'm not sure how long this has been going on. I sent Lily a message confronting her about the blog. She said nothing. I cannot stress how weird it is to have found pages dedicated to me, with her talking about how she was in love with me and make sure we'd end up together, slamming my boyfriend and building a fantasy life with two different versions of me in that she clearly believed to be real, then acting like it hadn't happened. She said nothing. She didn't address it, she changed the subject, even after I pushed, and it was like she hadn't even registered what I said. I'd never seen anything else like it. She deleted the page, of course, or at least changed the name and hid it so I never found it again. It wasn't the end though. I wasn't going to hang out with her anymore, but we were still shoved together in classes, and she started to actually scare me with what she might do. I'm kind of a paranoid person. Knowing someone was obsessively keeping track of me for who knows how long freaked me out. The next thing she pulled was trying to seduce my boyfriend. It was an absolutely useless attempt that only made him uncomfortable. He told me about it right away. What was her plan there? Did she hope to tell me he cheated and wait for me to break up with him? Why would I want her after that? When that didn't work for her, she tried hitting on three of my other friends. None of them took the bait. She ended up dating one of my former housemates for a while, but made sure to send me messages while they were together, letting me know that she'd rather be with me. No thanks. Lily made sure to stay in my life the whole time I was at university. There was a time where I tried to pull away from her, and she ended up starting rumours about me and damaging my career opportunity I'd put a lot of work into. I don't know what else she did behind my back, but it made me realise I was safer to let her think she was a part of my life while ignoring her, rather than doing something that would cause her to get angry. I graduated. Lily wanted to spend some time together, but I knew I didn't have to now. I made excuses about work and barely talked to her after this point. I almost entirely stopped posting on social media that I knew she knew about. Of course, she didn't give up that easily. She tried to start conversations, asked me to meet up with her, attempts I usually ignored. I didn't like to think that she was still tracking me online, but she probably was. I don't know how, but she'd occasionally reference things I mentioned online somewhere she shouldn't have known about. The last time we had a real conversation, she sent me a message out of nowhere. We hadn't spoken at all in months, and we hadn't talked about anything serious in much longer than that. Thinking about that conversation still makes my skin crawl, but I'll summarise what happened. At first, she asked me some questions about how long I'd known that I was queer. I told her some basic stuff, the kind of thing I'd tell anyone who asked. And then she changed the subject. She started talking about how I'd feel about her if she was a boy, about wanting to be a boy for me. The messages quickly became fetishistic. She went into plenty of detail about fantasies she had of the two of us. Again, we were not friends at this point. We'd never even been especially close, at least not from my perspective, and we'd barely spoken for years. I can't imagine sending messages like that to a close friend, let alone someone who barely knows you. I tried telling her not to pull this crap with me, but she decided to change her tactics. She sent me photos of herself, followed by a bunch of messages, maybe 4 or 5 a minute, way too fast for me to reply before the next one arrived, basically quoting back to what I told her about myself in the past. She was telling me these things as if they happened to her. She was role-playing as me. The worst part is that she seemed to believe it was real, that those things actually happened to her, even when she was quoting me word for word. Things I told her only hours before were now her life. It was as if she was trying to absorb my history, to take it over, to make my life part of her. Yeah, I didn't talk to her again after that. I ignored all future attempts she made to talk to me, and I eventually silently deleted her from the inactive social media, which was her only real way of contacting me. I really thought she might finally move on. A few days ago, she sent me a friend request. It's sitting here unanswered, because I know if I delete it, she'll only send another one. Lily and I met nearly 12 years ago. This story is just the highlights, and even then, it's only the stuff I know about for sure. A lot happened behind my back. I know it did. So to the girl who spent 12 years obsessing over me, fetishizing me, stalking me, and harassing me, let's not meet again. The fantasy life you built for the two of us in your head is the only place you'll be seeing me anytime soon. A few years ago, my husband was working swing shifts. At the time, we only had one car, so I'd drive him in and then pick him up, which was irritating because I had to wake up almost fully and drive him 30 minutes in, drive 30 minutes home, and then I could go back to sleep for an hour or so before I had to get ready for work. One day after I dropped him off in the wee morning hours, I stopped at a gas station not too far from his work to get a pack of cigarettes. When I came out of the store, there was a large white van parked beside my car. There had been a few warnings on Facebook about a white van in the area that was up to no good, so I took notice of it. Because there weren't a lot of people around, I found it strange that they parked directly beside my car, seeing as how there were many empty spaces around the lot. I headed to my car, already aware of the van, and two guys had popped out of it. They weren't very young or old, just average looking and a little dirty. I don't judge though, as they could have been working, so I continued walking towards my car. One of the guys yelled out to the other guy that he dropped his birth certificate. The second guy had a very confused look on his face. I didn't see anything come out when the passenger opened the door, so I knew he didn't drop anything, but I was thinking to myself, why would you have that with you? So, as I got between my car and the van, the driver fast walked around the front of the van and came up behind me, with the passenger in front of me, effectively blocking me between the vehicles. The passenger then asked me to look for his birth certificate, and I declined. He said, come on, help a guy out. I looked at him, keeping the driver in my sight and keeping my back to my car, and said no very firmly. By this time, I was standing right in front of my door handle, so I reached behind me, grasped the door handle and pulled. As I started to sit backwards into my car, the passenger reached for my arm, and I managed to pull my car door shut and lock the door before he could get my door open. I threw my car in reverse and got the hell out of Dodge. As soon as I was out of the parking lot, I called my husband freaking out. Unfortunately, I wasn't thinking clearly and didn't get the license plate of the van. I couldn't believe how utterly stupid the passenger's excuse for hanging around between the vehicles was, nor how freaking brazen they were, as the local sheriff's department and the jail were walking distance to the gas station. So, to the guys in the white van, less not me, I still have anxiety over this. In October of 2019, I went to a Halloween costume ball hosted at our local art gallery, which was organised by Unitarian Universalist Spiritual Centre, whose members I have close ties with. It was a typical party, but had a few ceremonial attributes to celebrate Samhain. I dressed up as the Red Death from Phantom of the Opera, but basically went alone, thus waiting for a friend who did eventually come to meet up with me later that night. Before that, I had the most bizarre experience. Bizarre as in, I was unable to imagine a clear explanation behind this certain circumstance. I still can't think of one to this day. So, after dancing to the music and sipping a couple of drinks, I was interested enough to purchase a photographic aura reading from this lady in a little booth. I sat down, and she instructed me to take off my skull mask and firmly lie my palms on a flat silver machine linked to her laptop. I was then instructed to look into a camera, and after a few minutes, my image appeared on the screen with a mix of transparent colours, along with various measuring charts. I was further intrigued and listened to the lady's explanations concerning chakras and the like. As I was trying to pay attention to her, something in my peripheral vision distracted me a bit. I decided to look directly ahead, and to my surprise, a group of four sitting at a table were staring at me and smiling back. Three men and one woman. If their expressions weren't really friendly, then they were most definitely flirtatious. I can't recall if they ever blinked. I was a bit weirded out, especially since I wasn't wearing my skull mask. I didn't even think to wave back a hello. So I just ignored them and listened further to the lady's interesting lecture, helping me examine my aura. At the time, I couldn't help but feel being stared down from the distance. I looked ahead, and again, it was the same group checking me out. They just kept looking at me without even signalling to me to walk over to the table. I knew I wasn't hallucinating, because I blinked and the group was still there, not making a single move. To be honest, I swear I've never met this group before, so I really don't know why they were staring at me like they already knew me closely. While not making it a big deal, the lady finished up what she wanted to teach me. I paid her, and just got up to go to the restroom. I brushed off that strange experience as nothing. Afterward, my friend found me, and we chatted until we had to leave for his mother's birthday outing. Interestingly enough, I then realised that the group never approached me after my aura session. I wonder what that was all about. Out of stubborn curiosity, I searched through the entire venue and didn't find them. Good thing I didn't end up telling a man that I had teeth in my rear end to scare him off. Well, that's pretty much it, and hopefully, you are never as spooked as I was.